Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports. It's brought to you by Sammy Sue's Barbecue in Dover. Now, with the latest, here's Joe Geckler and Chris Cale.
Welcome into this week's edition of the Sammy Sue's Barbecue Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Cale. Chris, man, softball, baseball, playoffs starting to wind down a little bit. We've got about 11 teams or so left combined between softball and baseball, but the weather is really cooperating. We're getting these games in finally. Nice warm weather here on Tuesday the 16th.
Absolutely, a little competition from Mother Nature.
Absolutely.
Which is nice, and hopefully everybody had a good Mother's Day weekend. Did you?
I did. We were in the Natty. My niece graduated high school, a class of 896.
Oh.
896 kids in her senior class. Whew. And she was number 27 in that class. So congratulations to my
Absolutely.
Niece, Ellie. She graduated from Fairfield High School. I'm sure your biggest, largest school district in the state of Ohio.
Wow.
So it was a good time, Mother's Day down there. The graduation was on Mother's Day, so I got to hang out with my mom during that as well. And, had a good day, long day driving, but it was a good day. How about you?
That's when I worked. So,
that's right. You were working. I'm sure Gina's happy with you.
She's happy because I gave her the best Mother's Day present that I could ever have.
What, you weren't around?
I wasn't around.
There
I was
go.
At work, so she was happy. She spent the day with the kids and her mom, and it was all good.
So. I can understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, taking a look at our high school softball picture for this week, the week of the 16th. East District Division II Pickerington Regional. Number 4 West Holmes, they play number 3 Riverview at Garaway High School on Tuesday night at 5 o'clock. And then number 6 Claymont, they play number 9 Carrollton at TCC Tuesday night at 5 o'clock. Those winners play on Thursday. East 1 District Pickerington Regional, number 1 Steubenville plays number 15 Dover at Minerva Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Number 2 Tri-Valley, they play number 10 Maysville at John Glenn, also Tuesday at 5 o'clock. The winners of those two games play on Thursday. Division 3 softball, Creston District, Massillon Regional, number 2 Northwestern plays number 3 Fairless at Norwayne High School. That game on Thursday at 5 o'clock. And then number 1 Tuslaw plays number 5 Manchester at Norwayne High School Thursday at 2 o'clock, Joe.
So you're telling me there's a game at 2 o'clock on a Thursday. Aren't these kids in school?
Well, I would think so, but maybe those schools are out early. I don't know.
I don't think schools get out early that early.
I don't think so either.
Down in Cincinnati, like my other niece that's still in school, her last day of school is today.
Well, but here's the thing, though. They let football players leave for the state championship games, miss days of school, right? So why can't a softball team miss an afternoon?
It is weird.
On a Thursday at 2 o'clock? Yeah. I agree. And then, like I said, those two teams, they will actually play on Friday. Cambridge District Lancaster Regional, number 10 Coshocton plays number 7 Edison at Cambridge Tuesday at 5 o'clock. And number 2 Buckeye Trail, they play number 3 Sandy Valley at Harrison Central High School Tuesday at 5 o'clock. The winners of those two games play on Thursday. Division 4 softball, East District, Pickerington Regional, number 1 Strasburg plays number 4 Frontier at Meadowbrook High School on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. And number 2 Toronto plays number 5 St. John Central at Buckeye Local on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. The winners of those two games play. Regular season action for Monday night, Fairless defeated Kindred Christian 13-3. Brooks 6 had 3 hits, and Gabby Brindley drove in 4 runs for the Lady Falcons, who are now 20-6 on the year.
Having a good year are the Falcons, and it's neat to see all these teams continuing to play on. Obviously, since the last time we recorded last week, there was a huge upset in Division 3, and we all know the Garaway Pirates went down to Coshocton 3-0, which was a stunner. Absolute stunner. I think the whole area was stunned by that outcome, but we haven't been able to talk about that game. But you know what? It's what happens when your bats go silent.
And you have a couple costly errors.
Sure, absolutely. But you can't take anything away from Garaway. They had a great run the last couple of years, and they lose a lot of talent this year. But knowing Dennis Coachmeter out there, their head coach, he'll have them back ready next year. And it's amazing, though, to see how some teams that you expect to go far, sometimes they stumble and they fall flat. Just probably just what happened with Garaway, and they hit a road bump at the wrong time.
Yeah, and it happens, like you said, and I'm hoping for another big upset on Tuesday night as the Lady Tornadoes head out to Minerva to take on number one Steubenville. If it holds true, Steubenville, they beat Meadowbrook in the sectionals, and it took them 13 innings to get it done, and they beat them 5-3. We beat Meadowbrook and had like six errors and beat them on a walk-off solo shot in the bottom of the seventh. So I like our chances if everything holds true, but we'll see what happens. I don't want to play Tri-Valley, though. I hope Maysville wins that game.
Just got to play an error-free game.
Well, and that's the key. Yeah. Absolutely. And speaking of error-free games, as we move to the baseball side, that's exactly what New Philadelphia needed but didn't get on Monday night as they lost to Cambridge 5-1 in Division II. District semifinal action at Coshocton on Monday. New Philadelphia finishes up their season at 12-11. They committed four errors in the top of the third, leading to four unearned runs that proved to be the difference in the game. Pitcher TJ Enos only gave up two hits in six innings with no earned runs. Seth Parker with an RBI single in the sixth for the Quakers. Indian Valley, they defeated Riverview 1-0 as Cade Williams outdueled Warren Cox on the mound in the district semifinal at Ridgewood High School. The Braves now 16-9. They play Meadowbrook for the district title Wednesday at 5 o'clock at Coshocton High School. Mason McEwen had an RBI single in the bottom of the sixth. That was the difference for the Braves. How about that? A 1-0 win in a pitcher's duel in a district semifinal.
I love it. I love 1-0 pitchers duels. I think it's great. I love offense though too, but 1-0 pitchers duels are always fun to watch.
Good luck, Indian Valley against, of course, Meadowbrook on Wednesday. Division III Highland, they hammered River 12-2 in district semi-action at Muskingum University on Monday in a five-inning contest. They led 6-0 after one and are now 26-0.
Yeah, they're better than they were last year. They won the state championship last year. So it'll be interesting to see how Highland goes throughout. I've already told Braden, obviously we, you know, out at East Holmes, we're in that school district. So I told Braden, I said, if they make it to the state championship game, it's on a Saturday. And I said, I asked him if he wanted to go down because he plays baseball, of course. And he's like, yeah, I'd love to go see him play. So if they make the championship game, I very well could be there.
Nice. That'll be fun to go down to Columbus with the boy and take in a championship game. Tuskegee Valley, they defeated Fort Fry 3-1 as Ethan Love scattered five hits and worked out of a bases loaded, no outs jam in the bottom of the sixth to defeat defeat Fort Fry. The Trojans now 13-13 and are 11-2 after a 2-11 start. And who was their last loss in that 2-11 start? Highland, 9-1, and that is who now they play in the district championship game Wednesday at 5 o'clock at Garraway High School. Tuskegee Valley and Highland matchup.
Oh, that's Wednesday?
This Wednesday.
Wow, okay. I might end up going to that.
That's Tuskegee Valley, Highland at Garraway.
That's right up the hill from my house.
Yep, district title game. Sweet. Of course, Craig Saminski had two hits and an RBI. Seth Johnson, two singles for Tuskegee Valley. We'll have to see if they can avenge that loss to Highland early in the year. But how about, I mean, seriously, 11-2 after a 2-11 start? Talk about a tale of two seasons.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They just flipped a switch, and they started winning games, which is good. I mean, we like to see that. They're playing good at the right time. And, well, I just remembered I won't be able to go to that game now. Braden has a game Wednesday night at 6 o'clock himself. So, unfortunately, I might be able to catch the first couple of innings and then head on out to the game. But, unfortunately, I probably will not be able to see that game.
Ah, would have been nice to have you covering for Big Z Sports.
I would have too, and you know.
But that. You know what? Family comes first, and that's all that matters. I will have the coverage from Tuesday night's game. Of course, the Dover softball game against Steubenville. I'll have the coverage out there because I'll be there. Also, continuing on with Division III, Martins Ferry shut out Garraway 4-0 as the Purple Riders pitcher Austin Bossa ran his scoreless inning streak to 19. Striking out 8 in a four-hitter and a shutout in semifinal action at Harrison Central High School on Monday.
A lot of good baseball going on right now. And, I'd love to see these local teams go on. Just keep playing. Obviously, we think Highland Baseball will do that. We thought Garraway Softball would do it. But, again, we mentioned they tripped up last week. But, you know, there's some teams left. That could make some noise, you know, over the next week or two.
Yeah, and we got one more game left, Division IV. Strasburg, they downed Frontier 4-1 as Gino Shootball scattered four hits at the district semis at Cambridge Monday night. The Tigers are 18-8 and play the Division IV poll winner Toronto Wednesday at 5 o'clock in Minerva. Shoeball struck out six and had an RBI single to help his cause. Jay DeBacco with a single, double, RBI, and two runs scored as Strasburg moves on. So good luck to all of our high school softball and baseball teams continuing on in tournament runs. Rather, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday as they will end up having those games. And by the time we podcast, we should know who's probably going to get ready to go to regional finals next week. And in more high school news, the IVC is expanding to a 14-school league this season, of course bringing in Claymont, Indian Valley, Tuskegee Valley, Buckeye Trail, and Conotton Valley. They're going to be 14 of the 16 schools that we cover here on Big Z Sports on our fall football show in the IVC this year. Pretty impressive. Joe was able to catch up with IVC Commissioner Chuck Rest at Monday's IVC meeting. Joe?
Thanks, Chris. I am here with IVC Commissioner Chuck Rest. And Chuck, first of all, thanks for joining us today here on Big Z Sports Podcast. And talk to us a little bit. 2017 brings a new IVC.
It sure does. We will go from 9 teams to 14 teams, 5 new schools coming in. This has been in the making for now about 2.5 years. Hopefully here in August, it's going to become a reality.
The big rumor was big school, small school division, but it looks like it's going to be north and south.
Correct. North and south. Maybe on paper, I guess, if you look at it, because there are going to be some tweaks in it. Maybe it's not a true north and south school-wise, but that's what the league principals went with and voted on, and that's what we're going to call them.
If you look at the South Division, we'll start with football, of course. That's coming up here at the end of August. But the South Division, you got Garraway, Claymont, Newcomerstown, Indian Valley, Ridgewood, and Tuskegee Valley. All those teams will play each other one time, and then they'll have one or two crossovers. Am I correct?
Correct. Two crossovers against the other schools in the other division.
And the North Division consists of East Canton, Malvern, Sandy Valley, TCC, Strasburg, and Buckeye Trail. If you want to look at it, it's almost kind of big school, small school, but with Sandy Valley and maybe Buckeye Trail in that other division, it kind of takes that premise away.
Yes, it does. If you look at it, on one hand, you can say it's almost big school, small school. On the other hand, you can look at it, and it's almost like a true north and south division, but it really isn't.
Now, if you look at basketball and volleyball, the divisions get a little bit bigger as we get Conotton Valley and Highland back in there, as they don't play football. Conotton Valley plays football, but in a different conference. Highland obviously does not have football, so we go to 14 teams in the IVC once basketball and volleyball kick in. But if you're looking at those divisions, you're going to do something new this year called a showcase.
Yes, what we're going to do is, and if you look at it, we're going with our divisions, our two divisions. You'll play everybody in your division two times. Then you'll play a couple crossover games in that. And then at the end of the year, we're going to have what we call an IVC showcase. The volleyball is going to be held at Indian Valley this year. We'll get into it in a minute. Probably boys and girls basketball will be held at different sites. But, yeah, we're just going to make it an all-day volleyball event. And if you're a volleyball spectator, hey, it's going to be a great showcase time for us.
Absolutely. And if you look at golf, girls golf, boys golf, wrestling, track, cross country, it will be an all-inclusive league. There's no divisions.
Correct. We're just going to find one place to have our, you know, league meet, league championship, whatever it may be. And if you've got a sport such as wrestling, if you can field a team, you're going to all be at one place.
Now, Chuck, explain to us or explain to our listeners what made the IVC expand, and what, I mean, it's 14 of the 16 teams in the area are now in one conference. What was the deciding factor of why the IVC wanted to do this?
I think I had a couple higher-up administrators, maybe, superintendents, whatever, got together. And, you know, finances are a huge thing anymore in anything, especially in school systems. I think they looked at it and said, what can we do to cut down a little bit maybe on our expenses in our, you know, athletic endeavors, I guess, is the main thing. And so they got to talking, and our IVC got with me and said, you know what, you need to maybe go talk to these guys a little bit, find out what direction they're going. Here's a direction we'd like to go. And all of a sudden, you know, I know it was 2.5 years ago, but it looks like it's going to become a reality.
Absolutely. And, of course, those new teams, Indian Valley, we've got Claymont, Buckeye Trail, Conotton Valley with basketball and other sports as well. Tusky Valley comes in as well. So it's a very, very strong division. If we go even go down to the middle school level, this is going to take effect for middle schools as well.
Correct. We're going to do that. The thing about the middle school, a little bit different scheduling-wise, we're looking at pretty much a north-south in that one just because of the travel and you know, just who they play. It's not, you know, really on the line of having a league champion, whatever it may be. So they're going to, you know, fill their schedule with I would say, schools that are in the vicinity or in the area where they don't have to travel a whole lot.
And if we talk a little more of the football, and everybody knows the traditional rivalries, and I'll use Garaway and Strasburg, for instance. They play each other every year. Will that continue, or will it change each year?
We're going to have a little bit of change in that because, like I said, in football, if you talk about it, everybody you play in your division one time, and then you are going to get a couple crossovers. We sit down usually 2 years in advance, and I guess I call it just draw pills.
Sure.
Okay, and we draw pills, whatever it is. We match them up with whatever the number that the school is there, and that's who they're going to play in their crossover. So, yes, 1 year. You know, you are for a 2 year cycle. Garaway and Strasburg may play in football again. They may go for 10 years and not play, but yeah, it just, I guess, is the luck of the draw, if nothing else.
Absolutely. Chuck, well, I appreciate you taking the time today to talk to us about the new IVC. We're excited at Big Z Sports to talk IVC sports all throughout the fall, winter, and spring of next year. So, congratulations on the new conference.
Well, thank you very much. I know one thing, I definitely am looking forward to it, and I really do think that the 14 schools coming in, they really can't wait to get started.
Absolutely. Again, that's Chuck Rest, commissioner of the IVC. We'll be back on the Big Z Sports Podcast after this word for Sammy Sue's Barbecue in Dover.
Looking for a great place to eat? Then head to Sammy Sue's Barbecue, first place winner of barbecue and ribs in the 2016 Times Reporter Reader's Choice Awards. At Sammy's, they pride themselves on their in-house smoked meats, made fresh to order dinners, side dishes, salads, and made from scratch soups. Sammy Sue's Barbecue is located on Front Street in Dover. Search for them on Facebook, visit their website at SammySuesBarbecue.com, or call 330-602-PORK.
Welcome back into the Sammy Sue's Barbecue Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Kale. Chris, it's now time for headlines.
It is time for headlines, and we know who will face the Cleveland Cavaliers. Finally, in the Eastern Conference Finals, it will be the Boston Celtics with a 115-105 win in Game 7 Monday night. The Celtics were able to move on. Kelly Olynyk with 26 points on 10 for 14 from the floor, and IT with 29 points, 12 assists. Game 1 is in Boston on Wednesday night. Cleveland is 3-1 against the Celtics on the season. LeBron and Isaiah Thomas both averaged 29 points a game in those four meetings. Should be a pretty good series, I think. I still think Cleveland will get the best of them. I hope not. From my standpoint, but I'm sure from all the listeners that we have out there, they're probably giving me the bird right now.
Your prediction on this series, Chris, how many games, who wins?
I think that Boston will probably get one game, two max. If the series goes seven, I think Boston wins. I think if it's a game seven in Boston, I think the Celtics win, but I don't think that's going to happen. I would say my first choice would be Cleveland wins in five.
Wow, you took it right out of my hands. I was going to say, if you think Boston wins in seven, I was going to say, good thing we don't have drug testing here at the radio station, because I would ask you to go pee in a cup right now.
But right.
I was going to say Cleveland in six. But I like Cleveland in five as well. But I think, if Cleveland gets up 3-1, are they going to take it easy? Probably not, because the Western Conference is already two games in. The second game is Tuesday the 16th for game two, you know. So they're going to be two games in. If it turns out to be a sweep, like I think the West is going to be a sweep now with Kawhi Leonard going down for the Spurs, then they're going to get a lot of rest. Well, the Golden State Warriors and Cleveland or Boston, whoever wins the series, wants to be done quick, so they get some rest as well. But, I'm going to say Cleveland in five. I don't think they're going to mess around. I was thinking Cleveland in six the last couple of weeks, but I think Cleveland has had plenty of rest. I think Boston came out of a very tough series. They get one day off, and then they got to bring in
the defending NBA champions, to their place, who they struggled with this year. Like you said, Cleveland took 3 of 4 from them in the regular season. With the Cavs being rested, I think they take both of them in Boston, and I think Cleveland will drop one in Cleveland, but I think they get them in 5.
See, I think Boston gets one of the first two, maybe even game one, because of the high that they're on right now from beating Washington, and then turn around and drop, you know, 4 in a row is what I'm thinking. But we'll see. I mean, you know, anything can happen. That's why they play the series. You know, obviously, IT goes down and, you know, it's an easy sweep. Boston's not getting a game. LeBron or Kyrie go down, and now it's a different series, just like what happened with Kawhi Leonard in the West, like you had spoke of. San Antonio, they blew a 25-point lead and lost to Golden State on Sunday, 113-111 in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Kawhi Leonard got hurt in the second quarter and then ended up, you know, getting hurt again in a third quarter and was done for the rest of the game. And that's when Golden State mounted their comeback. And it just was terrible to sit there and watch.
Let me ask you, in the big debate on all the national shows over the last couple of days,
yes,
was it a dirty play?
Yes.
See, I don't agree, man. I've been watching. I've watched the highlight. I didn't see the game live. We were down in Cincinnati. We were following it on our phones or whatever. And they were up 20, and I'm like, wow, you know, what a game, San Antonio. And then I heard that Kawhi went down. I'm going, okay. And then I saw the highlight then yesterday morning on Monday, and I saw, like, man, everybody's saying it's dirty, but I didn't see anything dirty about it. I understand he boxed him out a little tight, but
no, think about
I don't
this.
Get it.
Okay, think about this, okay? In football, is there ways to tackle a player without making it obvious but trying to injure him? Trying
well,
to bang
well,
him
sure,
up.
Sure, sure.
And this is the same thing, in my opinion. You have closeouts on a defender to where you can close out and maybe put your feet in precarious positions to where when they come down, if they come down the right way, they're going to land on your foot. You're not going to get hurt, but they are.
You know,
He's done it in the past. That's the problem with it.
I see what you're saying, but it's kind of like if you slide hard into second base in baseball and try to break up a double play. Are you trying to hurt somebody?
No.
You're not.
No.
You're trying to make the play.
But you could if you had those intentions and make it look like you're sliding in to break up a double play, but instead you want to wreak havoc and revenge on somebody and you're taking them out.
Sure. I mean, I get what you're saying. But I didn't see it as a dirty play. I mean, he boxed him out a little tight. I mean, I understand he was right against the baseline, right against the bench there. I get it. I see what he was doing, but I think he was really trying to keep him away from maybe getting his own rebound going around him. You know, Kawhi's good at that, but it's an unfortunate situation. I mean, if you remember last year in the finals, Steph Curry wasn't 100%. You know, it's, you know, you get the suspension from Draymond Green. Things can happen. You know, but do I say it was dirty? I don't think it was 100% dirty. It could be 50-50 because he did box him out a little tight. I give you that. But I didn't see anything like he shoved his butt in his midsection. He shoved him into the third row of the stands. That would have been dirty.
Yeah, I don't know about 50-50. I don't know how you can have a 50-50 dirty play. Well, I had the intentions of maybe taking him out if he comes down, but if he doesn't, then it wasn't intentional.
I didn't mean it like that. I mean, like, yeah, you could see how it maybe could have been dirty, but it wasn't, like, obvious, like he was trying to do it. You know what I mean?
Right, and that's what I'm saying. When you tackle a football player and you're saying, hey, if I just hit him hard enough in the hip at a certain angle, he's going to go down, and if he's hurt,
You know what, though? If it would have been some Joe Schmo off the bench, nobody would have cared.
You're right,
it's
but it
Kawhi
wasn't.
Leonard.
Exactly. And what happens whenever Ben Roethlisberger goes down or when Tom Brady goes down with a knee injury, they throw the flag on it and say that was intentional.
That's every quarterback.
Well, I know. What did you say Kimo von Olhoffen took out Carson Palmer a couple years ago? Was that intentional?
I don't know if it was intentional. It was unfortunate. I mean, as a Bengals.
Absolutely it was.
It's an unfortunate thing because I think he could have avoided hitting his knee as he rolled on the ground.
That's my point.
But I don't know if it was intentional, like I'm going to roll the guy up.
I would say that there was a little bit of intent there. That's just me coming, and that's a Steeler fan. I think Kimo the Assassin, they didn't nickname him that for no reason.
You know, and we always say when a quarterback gets hurt, he gets chemoed. So, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. So. And then other NBA news, did you see the Cleveland Cavaliers are teaming up with another Akron icon, linked by geography, and of course, superstar LeBron James, the defending NBA champions, on Monday announced a 3-year sponsorship deal with Akron-based Goodyear. The Cavaliers will wear the Tire Giants' winged foot logo on the front of their jerseys starting next season, which is 2017-2018.
Pretty cool. It is. Goodyear, obviously, it's an Akron-based company founded and headquartered in Akron. So, you know, kind of hand-in-hand with the Cavs. And it's a smart partnership, as you should say.
Yeah, and there are a couple other teams that have signed, with some other companies, right, Joe?
And like you said, less than a quarter of the league has signed off on deals so far. The Philadelphia 76ers, they've signed up with StubHub, the Sacramento Kings with Blue Diamond. I think that's an almond company, if I'm
right. Yeah, I believe it's.
And the Celtics with GE, the Brooklyn Nets with Infor, and Utah Jazz with Qualtrics. So don't know what a couple of those companies are. But, some teams have...
You don't know what GE is?
Well, I know what GE is, but, you know, like Qual4 and In4 and whatever else. You know,
Out4.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm with you.
Bad teams. I mean, that's what we call them. But,
right.
You know, good...
But
good,
I don't
deal.
Want...
You know,
okay, so what is your opinion on this whole deal with the logos on jerseys? In all honesty, what's your opinion?
I don't mind it. I mean, it's another way for revenue to come in.
We're going to start having soccer look like soccer teams now?
Sure.
With logos everywhere?
Come on, this is coming from a NASCAR fan?
Yeah, really? But that's a little bit different.
How's it different?
Why? Because it's... It's always been a part of NASCAR. You're selling spots on the race car. You've never had logos on jerseys. You always
sure you
sold.
Have.
You always sold.
What about the Adidas logo? What about the Nike logo? That's a logo.
Yeah, but you're not. Yes, but you're not selling. That's a good point. But you're not selling advertising rights to the left breast of your jersey when you can sell it to, you know, the stadium, the arena that you're in. I don't want to see, you know, Tom Brady out there playing and you can't even see his jersey because it's stamped with stuff all over
it. I don't think it's going to be that bad, but there are advertising on that because what's the team's doing? They're advertising their logos. They're advertising, hey, go buy our Cavs stuff. Go buy our Celtics stuff. Go buy our Lakers stuff.
Okay, so answer me this. When you go in 10 years from now, you go in, you and Braden walk into a sports store and Braden wants to buy, you know, whoever, a Kawhi Leonard jersey, because he should still be in the league by then. He wants to buy a Kawhi Leonard jersey or a Kyrie Irving jersey. Is it going to have all those logos on it?
They say they will be available like that if you want to purchase them like that. The authentic ones will be, which I don't mind as long as it's nothing offensive. You know, like, you know, back, I don't think we're in the day and era where it's going to be like Hustler or Playboy or somebody bad like that. It's or cigarette companies or
Marlboro
or beer companies.
Right.
Nothing like that.
What about Viagra? You know, I just don't want to see these jerseys get out of hand. You know, I don't want to see. I get the fact that, you know, it's not going to have offensive logos and stuff like that on it, but I just think it's going to get out of hand, and I hope that they don't let that happen. I don't want this to turn into soccer when, you know, you see these soccer jerseys, and it's just, I don't want to see it.
I don't think you honestly have to worry about that.
But
I think
it's more money in the owner's pocket. That's the problem that I have with it. They're already making a ton of money off of the logo and franchising rights and endorsement deals. They're making money off the players. Now all of a sudden they're going to make more money to be able to pay players more money, and it's just it's going to be a money pit. And I think if they would have left it out, you know, I think all sports should reset the salary cap down to about $1 million for the best player and be done with it anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, the salaries are getting kind of outrageous, but, you know, I don't mind the logos as long as they don't overdo it. Two or three on a uniform is fine. There's a lot of empty space on there, shoulder here, shoulder there, whatever. But you don't have to go hog wild and have 8 or 10 on there. There's no reason for that.
I agree. Moving into Major League Baseball, the Cleveland Indians, they beat Tampa Bay on Monday night 8-7 and are now 20-17, a half a game back in the AL Central to the Minnesota Twins. They play the Rays Tuesday and Wednesday before traveling to Houston for the weekend. And did you see Cookie Carrasco got a little dinged up Monday night?
I heard about it. I did not see it. We were outside playing baseball in the yard, so didn't catch the beginning of the game. I tuned it in about the eighth inning.
Yeah, he left early with an injury, even though five relievers came in to keep that lead, and secure it. Carrasco was pulled because of tightness in his left pec muscle after giving up an RBI single. The right-hander allowed 5 runs in 3 2/3 and left with Cleveland ahead 7-4. I believe Cookie's going to be checked out Tuesday night, so we'll have to see, what happens with that. They don't need another injury to a starter. We don't need this stuff to start now for the Indians.
Sure, absolutely. And there's a bunch of teams dealing with injured pitchers around the league. The Reds have 3 of their 5 starting rotation that they expected to be in the rotation beginning of the year. 3 of them are on the DL. So it happens to everybody, and hopefully the best for Carrasco, and, the Indians can keep winning.
Speaking of your Reds, they lost 3-4 to the Giants over the weekend and are now 11-18, 2.5 games back of the Cards in the NL Central. They play Chicago on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday before coming home for a weekend series with the Rockies. Of course, they play the Indians next week. I think Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's 2 in Cincy, 2 in Cleveland.
Oh, okay. There you go. But you know what? After a hot start, boy, they've fallen on hard times
in
a hurry.
And their schedule doesn't get any easier. They were out west, like you mentioned, and then they come home, and then they got the Indians, and they got the Cubs. And so May will tell a lot about the Reds and see where they're at the end of May, beginning of June. And, I don't expect much out of them this year. But you know what? They're holding their own right now. They have, they're hitting the ball well. They're pitching. Could be better, obviously, like I mentioned. 3 out of their 5 projected opening day roster starting pitchers or their starting 5 on the DL with Homer Bailey, Anthony DeSclafani, and Brandon Finnegan. So you're dealing with, you're dealing with AAA pitchers, essentially.
Yeah, I spoke wrong. You guys are 19-18, not 11-18. But still, teetering around that .500 mark, yeah, I agree with you. A lot's going to be told down the road. The Pirates, of course, they took 2 of 4 against Arizona over the past weekend and are now 16-22, 6 games back in the NL Central. They play at home against Washington Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before hosting the Phillies over the weekend. Nice little homestand for the Pirates. They need it, but they're going to need a lot more because they're not very good.
It's probably not the Pirates' year. They've had a couple injuries to their pitching staff as well. Obviously, Marte going out with his cheating and getting caught with steroids. You know what? That really took a toll on this team because you've got players out there now that were going to play right field. For instance, McCutcheon was going to play right. Now he's back to center, and you got Polanco in left, and you got some dude that usually plays first base in the outfield. And so it just messes up the whole dynamic of your team when a star player gets suspended for PEDs or a pitcher goes out of the rotation. You're bringing some guy in from Altoona or wherever their AAA system is. So it's tough. It's early. So a lot of season to be played. But, I think the Pirates will get Marte back around sometime after the All-Star break. So we'll see what happens with them. As long as they can keep it close by then, maybe they can make a run late in the season.
Yeah, but the problem is, will they have Andrew McCutcheon? I don't think they will.
Don't know. Depends on if they're keeping it close or not.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're already 30 games back or, well below .500, maybe they ship off McCutcheon and hopefully get Marte back and win a couple games at the end of the year.
Yeah, who knows? Moving on to NHL action, the Pittsburgh Penguins, they won game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals 1-0 on Monday night against the Ottawa Senators. The series now tied at a game apiece. The first game was 2-1 in overtime, so not a lot of goals scored. If you like hockey, big scoring fests, and it hasn't been happening in this series. Game 3 in Ottawa on Wednesday. In the West, Nashville and Anaheim tied at 1. Game 3 is Tuesday night. NASCAR news, Martin Truex Jr. won the Go Bowling 400 at Kansas Motor Speedway Saturday night over Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, Ryan Blaney, and Kyle Busch. The race was marred by a 3-car fiery incident involving, it started with Joey Logano hitting Danica Patrick, and then Eric Almirola piled in. Eric Almirola was airlifted out with a compression fracture in his back, going to be out for a while. Logano blew a left front tire at a 208 mile an hour on the front straightaway, and Danica was to his inside, and when he blew that tire, it hooked to the left. He hooked Danica right in the right rear and put her head on into the wall. Those two, burst into flames when they hit the wall, and then Almirola had nowhere to go. Car hit nose first, and then the back end lifted up, and when he came down, that's where the compression fracture happened. And so they'll be putting somebody in Richard Petty's fame number 43 for the foreseeable future, I would imagine. the All-Star race coming up this Saturday night at Charlotte, of course, and then on Memorial Day weekend, the Coke 600. On the IndyCar side, Will Power led 61 of the 85 laps in the Grand Prix of Indianapolis to beat Scott Dixon, Ryan Hunter-Reay, Simon Pagenaud, Elio Castroneves, and Graham Rahal, who started last and finished sixth on Saturday afternoon. Marco Andretti was the fastest in the first day of practice for the 101st Indy 500 with a lap over 226 miles an hour, qualifying a Saturday and Sunday. The race, of course, next Sunday, Memorial Day weekend. That is your headlines for the week of the 15th.
Absolutely. Chris, good seeing you again this week. Good luck to your daughter and the Dover Tornadoes on Tuesday night as they get ready to play Steubenville. And, you know, we always want these local teams to continue to go. I know you'll be up there rooting them on. We can't wait for your coverage tonight.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens. Good luck to all the area teams. And, again, if you didn't get to hear it last week, happy Mother's Day to everybody. And happy Memorial Day weekend next weekend. Can't wait.
Absolutely. With that, this week's edition of the Sammy Sue's Barbecue Big Z Sports Podcast will come to a close. For Chris Kale, I'm Joe Geckler saying thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Sammy Sue's Barbecue Big Z Sports Podcast.
This has been the internet broadcast from Big Z Sports.